Thanks, Paul, and good afternoon to everyone. I'd first like to acknowledge the other co-authors on this presentation, Dr. Steve Evidin and Paul Calazi. And again, we are with the Agricultural Research Service. We all work at Bushland, Texas. I also want to acknowledge funding. The majority of the funding comes from the Ogallala Aquifer Program, but we also have received support from Valmont Industries and Sorghum Checkoff Program. And so with this abstract, what I want to do is summarize the work that we've done at Bushland in regards to variable rate irrigation. That is, we've integrated our wireless sensor network of infrared thermometers so that we can monitor and detect spatial variable crop water stress over the irrigation season at the field scale level. And so just a bit of that background information. Certainly within all fields there is physical variability, whether it be soil texture that affects available water holding capacity or depth of the hard pan layer. Topography can affect runoff and run on. And certainly if you've been to Bushland and if you think our fields are flat and we don't have some problems, well, certainly we experienced that with intensive rainfall that we had this spring. So just a minor amount of topography can affect different soil water content within that field. And then, of course, salinity can affect crop vigor and ET rate, as well as seeps and the development and progression of seeps over time. Other factors that can affect spatial variability of crop ET are biotic stressors. In this top picture here, you see wheat, healthy wheat, that is the green wheat, and then diseased wheat can affect the different ET rates. Agronomic mistakes can cause non-uniformity and hence variability in ET rates, and you see in planting rates we can have that, but also in non-uniformity of chemical and fertilizer applications. And then crop response to soil and water variations can be dynamic, again, across the irrigation season and affect ET rate and soil water content. So in agriculture, for a number of years, thermography and thermometry have been used as tools to provide information relative to plant status, whether it be to characterize crop water stress or to perform irrigation scheduling or remotely detect disease. And we've used a number of thermal stress indices. One of them has been the empirical crop water stress index, and we use this in a method similar to Moeller and others in 2007, where TC is a crop canopy temperature that's measured. We measured it through thermography, but recently through infrared thermometry, and then we calculate wet temperature, which relates to a well-watered leaf, and then T-dry, which we calculate based on maximum air temperature plus 5 degrees centigrade. And with Moeller, they use an artificial wet reference, and we estimated wet canopy temperature using the equation by Monteith and Unsworth that you see there. Interestingly enough, we found better correlation between a measured artificial wet reference and estimated crop water stress index using maximum air temperature. And we have a publication on that as well. And so in using this empirical crop water stress index, when we regress it against measured leaf water potential, we saw very high negative linear correlations between the two, both in year 2007 and 2008. And again, this was for cotton. We also showed that you can build spatial and temporal crop water stress index maps using the empirical crop water stress index. And in that first graph shown on day of year 204, only after 6 days of irrigation, we don't see very much difference in the crop water stress index. But after 50 days of irrigation, and we irrigate it in a concentric pattern, then you can see the crop water stress index is calculated by the empirical crop water stress index. Is this a pointer? Oh, it isn't.
Sorry, I'll have to use the...
Maybe an explosive device. I don't know. Okay. Oh, that's... Okay. So the objective of my talk here is that we wanted to investigate the relationships between the thermal stress indices measured continuously over daylight hours with soil water content and ET at the field scale level using infrared thermometry. Because in the past we had maybe used point measurements. So as I mentioned earlier, we're integrating variable rate irrigation with our wireless infrared sensor network. And so this slide shows it here. Here's our six-band center pivot system. We have masts with our wireless sensors located on the mast, and they're forward of the drop hoses, so that the infrared thermometers are looking at dry canopy as the pivot moves around the circle. Even if, when it's irrigating, it's looking at a dry canopy. And here's a close-up of the infrared thermometers, and this is a part of the moving network. And then we have wireless infrared thermometers that are stationed within the field. Again, as part of our system, we are using the 802.15.4 communication protocol, also known as the Zigbee, and this uses less energy. Data rate is a little bit slower, but it allows us to use the sensors for the life of the irrigation season. We do have a host computer that's located at the pivot point for data collection from both the moving wireless network and the stationary wireless network. And then we can remotely communicate with this host computer to monitor the irrigation system and to look at the wireless sensor network. And here's a close-up shot of the variable rate irrigation system. And here's the pivot lateral. And what I wanted to point out is here are the hydraulic valves. We have a hydraulic valve on each of the drop hoses. And the hydraulic valves, by their opening and closing, that's how we get the differential watering rate, so that we can vary the watering rate across the pivot lateral and in the direction of pivot movement. If you look at the background on the crops here, you can see the effect of the different watering rates. So with variable rate irrigation, you have to have a map, prescription map, or a set of instructions to indicate to the moving irrigation system, in this case, of course, the center pivot, where to irrigate and how much to irrigate. And so on top here, this is just the plot plan that we developed at the beginning of the experiment, and this shows you an example of a prescription map that we built. And so we use automatic irrigation scheduling, and that's based on the crop water stress index threshold, the integrated crop water stress index threshold, and then we compare it against manually irrigated plots. And we use four different irrigation schedules. At least that's what we did in sorghum for this year. For cotton, we did the same thing. It's a different center pivot, three-span center pivot, same year, different field. Right, so for crop water use, we use the Neutron Pro and calculate crop ET based on the inputs of irrigation and precipitation. And then we take into account, that way we can take into account the flux across the lower bounds of the control volume. We also use the temperature scaling algorithm because we're having the IRTs on the pivot measure canopy temperature as the pivot moves across the field. So in this way, we can do two things. We can estimate canopy temperature across the entire field for the same time of day, or we can estimate diurnal temperature for a remote location. And that scaling method was developed by Peters and Evett in 2004. And then we use the integrated crop water stress index, which is based on the method by Jackson and others. So let me quickly go through some of these results. So if we look at the relationship between crop water use and the integrated crop water stress index, and the crop water use data was taken between day of year 206 and day of year 171, and then the integrated crop water stress index was calculated through day of year 206, we see this linear relationship. If we look at the relationship between seasonal crop water use and the integrated crop water stress index for the entire season, again, we see a strong correlation coefficient between the manual and the automatic irrigated treatment plots. Those data sets were for sorghum, and these are some data sets for cotton. If we look at soil water content versus the integrated crop water stress index, for which these two values are measured on the same day, see a correlation coefficient of 63%. And we see a little bit less of a correlation between soil water content and the average seasonal integrated crop water stress index through day of year 219. Later in the season, the correlation between soil water content and the average integrated crop water stress index becomes greater. And then again, if we look at the relationship between seasonal crop water use and the integrated crop water stress index, we see a stronger correlation coefficient. And I did, again, break out manual versus automatic irrigation plots. I can just skip this slide here. In conclusion, crop sensing for us has been a means to meet crop water demands, variable crop water demands over the irrigation season. We've shown that plant sensors placed on a moving irrigation system, they provide a means to detect crop water stress and monitor at the field scale level. And then the stress also can be used to some degree to estimate variable ET. And with that, that's all I have.
Okay, we have time for two questions.
James.
So, Susan, what is your temperature precision and accuracy on those IRTs mounted? How close are they to some standard, and what is your standard?
Well, we calibrate them against a commercial black body inside a controlled temperature chamber. And we calibrate them in different ambient temperatures at 20, 30, 40, and 50 degrees. And then the black body we change in 5-degree increments between 15 and 55 degrees. And then we come up with a calibration equation for each of those sensors. Now, the module itself we purchase from a commercial company, and their spec is half a degree centigrade from 25 degrees ambient temperature. So you do see some drift at higher temperatures.
So in half a degree there are a lot of people who just say you got to have a 10th, but you're getting your results half.
Right, and it's economical. Can't afford the others. Right.